But that's the one thing that I realized, is that I will never, as a person who's making this from the inside, I will never get to discover it. Mm. And that's one thing I always used to long for, and I think about still, is the way I actually kind of judge how good it is, or if I like it. I try to imagine me being me, you know, what I would think if I found this. I've always talked about that. Like, if I discovered this music, how would I feel about it? If I heard this playing, what would I feel? And I always say, well, I would really like it. And that's how I know that it's something I should be doing. But I can never actually experience that. So the closest I can get to that is by talking to someone who discovered it. And for example, I was saying, it's strange for me to talk about these things, because I don't want to, I feel a little embarrassed or awkward sometimes, because I don't want it to be like I'm bragging or boasting, but I'm so honored and, again, moved and flattered by people's love in this music, not in me, but in this music, the same way I am, that it makes me reserved a little bit about sharing it. Just like if someone paid you a very nice compliment, it might be, you might be more like, oh, thank you, and you wouldn't go, yes, you know, thank you very much, of course I just, you know what I mean? So it kind of is a kind of a shy thing, but yeah. Like, for example, that's the thing, like, this guy the other day wrote in a question to the website. You can write in questions, and I'll try to answer as many of them as I can. And he wrote in, this is a very, like, particular story. We were playing the summer festival, the Warped Tour, with all these bands, and I was on the tour bus getting ready to play, and where our tour bus is was right by the stage, and I could see a lot of the audience. And I saw this young kid, he's probably like 10, and he was wearing an AWK shirt, an Andrew WK shirt, and I saw him. He was kind of standing back away from the stage, looked like he was kind of waiting. And I was like, wow, like I just noticed him, I think because of the shirt, obviously, and it got me really excited. Just to see someone wearing our shirt is so exciting, you know what I mean? I can't really explain it. It makes me feel special, you know? It makes me feel really excited to be able to do what I do. It makes me, without a doubt, I am the luckiest person that I know. Like, I really, really am. I'm so fortunate. So anyway, I saw him, and then we went and started getting ready to play. We were at the stage. We went up, and it was a really huge crowd. This was in West Virginia, Virginia Beach. And it was a really, really great, great concert. And so the crowd, you know, is going nuts. And I noticed, like, way in the distance, this kid was watching. But I think the crowd was so, like, energetic and kind of violent that he was a little nervous about getting too near to it. So I yelled at him from way, way far away. I said, you, no, you. Like, right in the middle of the show, I said, you, come up close. And he's like, me? Talking to me? I was like, yeah. So he and his dad, I mean, he was very young, so he was there with his dad. They came up closer. I said, closer. And I ended up getting him up on the stage, and I had him on my shoulders during the set. We were singing. He was singing the song and dancing. It was just a great thing. We do stuff like that. And I felt so... It made me feel so wonderful that he looked to me and looked at this music and put this music in a position as something that could make him so happy, and that I was then able to use that position to make it even better. And anyway, so his dad wrote in, like, a few days later, wrote into the website saying, hey, you know, this is, the kid's name was Josh. He's like, this is Josh's dad, and I just wanted to thank you for making, you know, one of the best days for my son's whole life. And that's the thing, like, that guy, you know, like, I don't think he really knew much about us before, but now you have this, you know, 45-year-old dad who believes in this because it made his son happy. And I hope that we can get things like that. Like, the other day, this other older man wrote in. He said that he was in his late 40s, and he's like, I felt a little intimidated by new music lately. I don't know. It makes me feel old. I don't know a lot about these new bands, and my daughter listens to them all. And she said, Dad, I think you might like this music. And I went in, and he's like, yeah, I could tap my foot to it, and it sounded like a happy song, and it made me happy. He's like, I never knew about it, now I love it. And he said, I just wanted to thank you for making this great music. And that's so exciting to me that a guy, because I think the essence of this music, what's at its core, is very simple. It's not about, it's not really about a certain message. It's not about me talking or sharing about a particular personal experience. It's not about a certain kind of groove or attitude or style. It's really about a feeling. And the feeling itself is pretty wide open. Like, it's pure energy. It's emotion. The same emotion that would inspire you to cry out of happiness. The same emotion that would drive you to get that work done that you wanted to. The same emotion that would leave you feeling dazed or completely overwhelmed after, like, a big sport, like your soccer, favorite soccer football team wins, or it's this, it's not really happy or sad or angry or, you know, it's just pure emotion. And that's why if we can really tap into that root, and I'm trying, I don't know, you know, I think it's working. If we can tap into that, then anybody could like it. Then my mom could like it. Then, you know, my grandmother could say, well, I could see why. I can see what's fun about this. Or a very young person or whoever. And that's what this new album especially is really focusing on. And that's, of course, what I Get Wet was as well. But just finding more ways and better ways and trying to expand on, it's not about anything other than that melody. And the reason, the way it sounds, the way it does, all the instruments, the vocals, the lyrics, all of those things are there to support that simple melody, which might be ding 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 ding. That's the first song's melody. And you know, there's no words, you don't need words, but there's a feeling that comes from that where it's just, it's so hard for me to describe these things. And actually, you know what, my friend Chris sent me a quote from this book about writing. It was a book about how to write well. You know, and you would never think that would have anything to do with music, but they compared a lot of things to music and said the reason about music is that we can talk about it, we can listen to it, but music is like a language that we can't describe. And there's a quality to it that we can hear it, we can feel it, we can make it, we can share it, but it's very hard to explain it. And so I can talk about these feelings, I can give similar, I can tell about times I've felt similar, I can try to equate things to this feeling, but you know, what this music is about is so simple. It's just about feeling really, 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 really moved. And, you know, I hope that people have, and I hope myself, I speak with myself, I hope that we have the courage and the ability to live up to the demands, not only of our everyday lives, but the demands that it takes to have faith in something or to allow something to make you feel good. Because whenever you, just like with a love relationship, you're taking a risk by believing in something. You're taking a risk. To have faith in something, you're taking a risk because it has the potential to let you down. And that goes back to what I think you were asking at the beginning when this first thing first came out. It was asking a lot of people. It was asking them to believe in something that they had no reason to believe in. It was asking them to gain pleasure from something that they weren't familiar with. And it was asking a lot. And unfortunately, there were some people in there that were able to gain something from it. And I think over time, again, it's my responsibility. If someone doesn't like this, that's my fault. It's not theirs. And I take full responsibility for having to prove it to them. And I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to earn your trust. I'm going to earn your ability to allow this to make you happy. And just like being in love with someone, it's going to take work. It's going to take compromise. It's going to take sacrifice on both our behalves. But we're both working towards this one thing. And I've always said that if you can like more than one thing in life, you're in a good place. And if you can like two things and three things, the more things you can find in the world to gain pleasure from, then you're doing great. And you're gonna have a more enjoyable life. The more things in the world that you enjoy, the more enjoyable every day is gonna be. If I can sit here and say, wow, I really enjoy this because I really like trees, and I actually like the way this sidewalk is kind of cracked and has holes, and I like that we're getting to talk about this, that's more things. If I was like, oh, you know what, these trees really suck, then that's gonna be one less thing that makes my day enjoyable. So I say, if we have the strength to
okay, Luis, he's got it on him. Excuse me, you guys.
You see the photo of that guy over there?
I saw him. Got up and walking.
I saw him. Yeah, he's a big boy, right? Yeah, he's walking tall. He's a ginger.
Is he ready to go?
Yeah, he really is. Let me get it switched out for you. Yeah. Just press that button and hold it, boy.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay, so there's really very, very much to talk about, and I hope that actually after, I know we have to go shortly, I would hope that after that we could speak a little bit more because this is only the beginning.
Good.
And it's very important to me that you and the magazine and the readers and whoever else get to know everything, because I have so much to say. I'd actually like to have 2 hours to speak of everything. And of course you can edit it however you see fit, but you know, I know that the way things work is on catching people's attention and catching their interest. And we certainly have done that, and now it's time to hold their attention. And that's where I see myself now.
Whereabouts in the world did you go over best? I heard the Australians were particularly receptive.
Australia was really great. We want to play at a festival there. I'd like to play that big day out. I got to go over there and, you know, talk to the press thing. We play concerts there. I've met people. Actually, these guys that were on tour with us had seen us play. I got to meet some people in the U.S. that had seen us play in Australia, which was really exciting. Japan has really, really gone very, very well.
What do the Japanese why do you think they connect with it particularly?
It's exciting. I think they like excitement.
Yeah.
And there's a maybe even what some would describe as a naive quality.
Yeah.
An earnesty and an immediacy.
Yeah.
An urgent kind of drive that they really thrive on over there. There's a in the U.S. even myself, like the way I would maybe go into a lot of situations is I would be hesitant or tentative or feel doubtful. There, it seems like they're so, like, they pride themselves on loving things, you know, like they take pride in being proud and they love to love stuff. It's as simple as that. So I think that they in general just go into something and when they saw this, they saw something that was, you know, trying or making an effort to make them happy, and they said like, wow, that's all we want to do. I don't really know. I can't explain it. Again, I feel kind of strange. I can talk about what I know, but I don't really know why it went over so well. I guess they just identified with the unadulterated excitement. Look at that.
Yeah.
I'm going bald there.
You...
I hope not.
No.
You know what? If I go bald, I'm going to go with it. I would never shave my head. Like, you know how you can tell, like, when someone starts going bald, they're like, they freak out and they just shave it all down. I'm going to go with it. If I could be completely bald on top, just have the sides, I'm going to keep it.
Great.
Yeah, I'll keep it.
I love that Crashing with Andrew WK thing on MTV.
You see it?
I did see that.
And where did you see it?
I saw it in London.
A tape of it?
No, I saw it. It was broadcast.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're positive?
Yeah.
Oh, you've got to tell that to Trevor, because we were just talking about trying to get that broadcast.
No, it has been broadcast.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Several times, because a few of us saw it. The best bit was when you went in was when the band was just blasting out She Is Beautiful when the school orchestra...
Could you believe that?
That must have been an incredible feeling.
One of the highlights of my life to date was, and actually they did a rehearsal. You saw, like, we went into the band room where they first played it, and they were showing me, and I was practicing on the drums and stuff, and you know, it was like a tears in the eyes feeling. It was like I had a feeling similar to that when I first was getting the band together and they were playing the songs with me. It was so many years of dreaming realized of, you know, my dream was to have a band that would play these songs with me, you know what I mean? And to be with people that I, like our drummer who I really loved and respected, to see him playing this drum beat that I, you know, recorded and made up, is a very powerful feeling. I think it's like if you wrote something and then you saw like a choir like reading what you wrote, it'd be very moving.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And very powerful. Just because it didn't make me feel proud about myself. It made me feel proud of the music. It didn't make me feel full or personally excited. It made me feel like, wow, like here's this music. Here's this thing I've made that these people like that much. Like this thing is good. And that's kind of how I ended up feeling. There's been so much stuff like that happening. Like the just finding out people liking it. Like it's been very exciting. Like Kerry King from Slayer came to one of our concerts, and
a big hero of yours, obviously.
Well, he more even more than me, because I wasn't that familiar with Slayer. It's really interesting. The bands I was listening to were the bands that were inspired by Slayer, like Obituary, and Napalm Death, just later metal bands. So that was, you know, a big deal for my band, getting to tour with Aerosmith and getting to meet those guys. Like again, like Jimmy, our guitar player, who's a little bit older than I am, that was one of his, you know, favorite bands of all time, his heroes that he grew up, you know, worshiping. So things like that, seeing this music take me and friends and other people into amazing places. Max Weinberg, the drummer from Bruce Springsteen, like he brings his son to see us play and came to our video, and he really likes it. So
there is a bit of Bruce Springsteen in there, maybe.
In the new album? It's yeah, I mean, he hasn't heard the new album yet, but I'm really excited for him to hear it. I think it's just, you know, it's music made for the sake of music.
Yeah.
It's not music made to pay, I don't think of this as a return to anything, and I think I said this before to you or people here, was just that this music isn't made as a reaction. I'm not saying, you know, I never say music sucks and, you know, we gotta fix it and gotta change it. It's not about that. It's about expressing how excited we are about things, and this is music made for the pleasure of listening to a melody. It's music made for the pleasure of how good it feels to listen to music, and that's where it starts and ends, and everything else, including me talking about this and rambling on about it, is just sort of on the side, just to support that.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you're going to feel a certain way.
Yeah.
You're going to feel a certain way by it, and if you can manage to get away or cut through all the stuff that can stand in the way of us enjoying something. Mm. Like, for example, if you're going to skydive, if you're skydiving, you know, you might not be thinking, if I was going to go skydiving, the last thing I was probably going to think about was the feeling of actually flowing in the air. I'll be thinking, what if the parachute doesn't open? Okay, now I got to jump out of the plane at the right time. All these people are here. Are they going to make sure I do it right? What if I land in a weird way? But if you could eliminate all that and just really focus on how good it's going to feel and how good it does feel to float in the air, to drop in the air, it's that. It's those the core experience, the essence of a pleasure that makes life worth living. And I think that music is one of those things that provides that in huge quantities. And that's why everyone loves it. And there's so many things that go along with it. You know, who they are, who the people are, why, what, blah, 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 all the other stuff that I hope we just never lose focus of that at the end of the day. The reason we're even here talking about this is because it feels good.
Yeah, definitely. How did you get involved with the Jackass guys?
It's so exciting. I just want to say, like, that was another highlight. Like, all this amazing stuff has gone down. I can't believe we've played.
Did you love that program?
I love the program. Yeah. I was blown away when I first saw that. I consider that movie to be one of the most important movies. There's never been a movie made like that. It released in the theaters. Mm. That's never happened.
Yeah.
A movie without a plot. You know what I mean? That's what I was actually when I first heard they were making a movie, I was like, oh, is this going to be like a movie where there's a storyline and it's on film and they somehow try to incorporate the things. I was like, I hope they just make it like a really long version of the TV show.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was. And I really believe in I think that the reason that TV show did so well in the movie is it captured people's imagination and it reminded them that the world and life can be, and it often is, nothing but a fun house, like a carnival, a festival for you to run rampant through.
Yeah.
And people were able to live vicariously, and maybe, you know, you wouldn't necessarily do things as intense or, you know, full bore as those dudes, but it reminds you that really anything is possible. And that not only are these guys getting to do this crazy thing every day and living this fun life, but that maybe things aren't as scary as they seem, or maybe they're not as intimidating as they are, and that the world can be maybe not this thing that's, you know, impending on you, that you can go out there and be like, wow, I'm going to climb up this tree and I'm going to jump out, I'm going to run around. And it's that invincibility, it's that spirit of that humans have that makes them feel like they can do anything. And when people feel like that, amazing things will happen.
Yeah.
When you feel like you can do anything, that's when you build Stonehenge. When you feel like you can do anything, that's when the pyramids get built.
Yeah.
And that's why I felt like really in line with their whole thing, because it really is about living, you know, for the day and not, you know, when so many things are so intense and when the world is so full of pressures asking us to evaluate our day-to-day life, is what we're doing worthwhile, or is it trivial when war is impending and when, you know, people are dying and there's so much, you know, hardship around. It makes you really look at your own life and go like, well, maybe it's stupid that I really like skateboarding, or maybe this music thing kind of seems dumb in light of all that, but it's not. And the people that are out there, that are the terrorists and whatnot, I feel like what they're ultimately trying to do is strip us of the pleasures of our life and cause us to live more in a state of fear and doubt that would result in not enjoying things. And after September 11th, for example, I'm sure all over the world people said like, oh man, maybe it makes all these things that I like seem so stupid now in light of that. Certainly did in New York. And I think that that's their biggest weapon, and that's what they're trying to do. And our best way to fight back is to not doubt or question those things which naturally feel good, and to in fact hold on to them even more with a passion. And that's why I was so honored and pleased to be part of that, because I feel like they're like, what that thing was all about was just really, 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 really having fun. And it might be stupid and it might be kind of mindless, but at the end of the day, you gotta live your day as though you might not get a chance to live another one. It's very simple. That's not something I'm making up. That's just an age-old rule. And for all those people that did die, and all those people that are dying right now, and are never going to live another day, we can live on in their honor and say, well, I'm gonna really use this day, and I'm gonna enjoy this day, because it's supposed to be hard, but it's also supposed to be pleasurable. And just because life isn't easy doesn't make it bad. And that's a line from the album.
Yeah.
Remember that? Could you hear that?
I did hear that.
Okay, good. Cool.
Yeah. So obviously the kind of, you know, when we kind of first met, you would do Jackass type stuff, like you cut your kind of forehead, and video shoot Jimmy was beating you in the face. Do you still do stuff like that now?
Well, I got injured the other day. We played you know the band Hatebreed?
Yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorite bands, and we were good friends with them. we got to be good friends with them on the Ozfest tour. And then actually recently on this Warped tour, we got to be good friends with Dropkick Murphys, who I really, really like a great deal. So that's all been very exciting. But the most recent time I just got injured after we played with Hatebreed. One of the, he's not in the band, but he's this guy named Big E. He's just a big guy, and he's really fun, and he tackled me on the stage. I still have these real small marks now. But I got a brief injury there. I think that a lot of that was, I was so, you know, like the back of the album cover, someone asked me the other day on the questions on the website, they said, why on the, you know, the cover of I Get Where, the back of the back cover, they said, why do you look so angry? And I wasn't angry, but I think in the face of so much stuff happening and so much attention being put on this initially, and maybe pressure or just people looking at it and me being kind of shy, the only way I could react to it was to be very hard. And
it's more a kind of defiance, isn't it? It's kind of strength, I think.
Strong, yeah, because I was so determined to do this and so focused and dead set on not failing myself. Not necessarily, I don't mean failing in terms of record sales or things like that, but not feeling like I had let down the music. Like feeling like I could do really well, that it took on this intensity that maybe I hadn't foreseen, and all those things like cutting my forehead, or that wasn't to make a point to anybody. It was just for me a thing that I was doing to keep my edge, kind of, and keep like sort of strong. And it's impossible to be invincible, but I was trying to, you know, it was really hard for me to deal with at times, you know, a couple of years ago. It was hard for me to figure out what to do or how to react or how I was supposed to be, because I was still figuring out what even this was. And now that I know a little better, I feel more confident. And people's love in this and people's belief in it has given me confidence, and the music ultimately gives me endless amounts of confidence. But I was just trying to find a way to maintain strength in kind of a crazy situation, because I'm really just a normal dude in a really crazy situation, you know, and I'm just trying to ultimately not let this music down. And I feel like this new album is maybe me being a little more like, okay, I like this music trusts in me now a little more, and I did right by it, and I got it to where it needed to be, or I got it out so people could hear it, and now maybe I've earned the right to play this song now. And there's songs on the new album that actually were written before I Get Wet.
Well, because Free Jumps was originally on the first album.
Free Jumps was there.
Make Sex is quite an old song.
Make Sex is an older song. Really in Love was written before any of the songs on I Get Wet. There were songs written during I Get Wet as well that I was just like, these are too, like, I don't know what the word is, but I wasn't ready to do them by any means. I didn't know enough about what this was. The thing was, this music to me from the very beginning, while it was saying party hard and have fun and, you know, get wasted, all this stuff, the way I felt about it, the feeling it gave me inside, was as deep and as powerful as anything could feel. It was I felt in line with the universe, you know. And that might sound kind of corny or wishy-washy, but it really does. Like, it means to me, this is my life, you know what I mean? So, and I never expected that anybody else would feel even a fraction of that. I thought people would say, oh, yeah, it's a cool song we like to listen to when we go out on, you know, Friday nights when we go to the pub. And that, I was like, that's great, you know, that's of course.
Yeah.
But there are people out there that feel as passionate about it as I do, or feel similar feelings to what I do. And again, I didn't expect that. But to know that gave me such a new level of confidence, not in myself so much, but in this music, that, you know what, people believe in this the same way I do. And I guess I'm glad I didn't anticipate that. I think that when you're asking me about, did it go to my head, about the intention and stuff like that, it didn't, because I still felt like kind of I didn't earn any of it yet. And now I feel like, just over time and people saying like, I love this music and I believe in this music and it makes me feel so good, it really felt me like, you know what, okay, so now I can do this song called Really in Love. The song Really in Love on the album is directly about, well, ultimately it's about whatever you want it to be about. You can apply it to a relationship that you're in, or a woman or a boy or a girl, whatever. But to me, it's really about, there was a time, maybe 6 months ago, when I was feeling very lonely. Maybe even another, like a year ago, feeling a little lonely. I didn't have a girlfriend or anything. I was listening to a lot of songs and movies, seeing movies and love songs that were very romantic and talking about these deep connections and bonds that people have, and this unconditional love that is so strong. I was like, gosh, that'd be so great. I can't wait to, you know, have that, or have a girlfriend like that, or be married. And then it hit me that, like, I've been given, or I found myself in a position where I already have that with this music and with the people that love it. I have an unconditional love. I have a reason to get up in the morning. This music and the people's love for it gives me the potential to rise up, to do things that I might otherwise not be able to do. It gives me a reason not only to get up in the morning, but to work really hard, to do things for people other than myself, to do things for this music other than just myself. It gives me a strength that I would never otherwise have. And that's how it makes me able to do this. And it was so amazing. I was like, that's my love. Yeah. That I could be alone and never have anything, I'd still have this music. I'd still have the people who love this music. And that's what that song is really in love. It says, I didn't know what I was. I didn't know what I wanted from love. But now I know that I'm right. And even if you won't have me, meaning even if you don't like this music, I'm still going to try.
Yeah.
I'm still going to work. And just like if you had a girl that you had a crush on, you know, you're going to persevere and you're going to tell her, you know what, I know you don't like me, but I just want to let you know that I really like you, and I'm going to work and try to make you see how I feel about you. And it's about that relationship, and like that song, that couldn't have existed on the first album, because on the first album, no one even knew this music existed. So now that all that's there, now I suddenly have people to talk to. The first album, I'm talking about this group of people, I'm singing, and it was all a dream, hoping that I could sing on behalf of someone, hoping that I could write a song that made other people want to sing along, hoping that what I'm saying, you know, we get off because we do what we want, that there would be other people that feel like they are part of that. And it was all a hope, all a wish. And now that it actually exists, and it exists on the level it does, and there's no telling it how much more it could get someday. But now to have that, now I know that I can sing to those people and they exist. And when I, on this new album, when I'm singing these words, it's directly talking to the people who love and believe in this music, and trying more than ever to make something that they, not expresses what I feel, but it hopefully expresses what they feel and how they love it, you know.
Is Long Live the Party directed at your critics about the people who didn't get it the first time around?
No, not directly. It was more like that song, other points on the album. For example, like I Love Music, which is sums up everything that this is, that this whole thing is about, which is music itself. One of the lines in the beginning says, you know, I want you to remember all the things that I said. Not only am I talking to whoever's listening, I'm talking to myself.
Yeah.
I want you to remember what you came here to do. If I'm confused, if I'm freaked out, if I'm stressed out, if I'm down, all I have to do is listen to that line. I want you to remember what you came here to do. Remember, you know, 6 years ago, when you were first trying to figure out how to record and dreaming of playing to even 50 people that wanted to hear this music, I want you to remember what you came here to do. You came here to make this music and try to make people feel as good as possible. It's those things that keep it centered. And so I'm not really necessarily talking. I'm talking, the biggest critic is myself, the biggest person. So when I'm saying Long Live the Party, I'm saying, like, I'm not going to turn my back on what this is. I'm not going to turn my back on what I've set out to do. I'm not going to forget that center, and I've got to keep focused. So it touches on both those things.
There's a sense on this album as well that time's short, and, you know, the life's short as well. Like, I want you to remember you're not better off dead. Some of it seems quite poignant in that way.
Yeah.
You know, there's sort of...
When I was recording a lot of that, it was right when the war with Iraq was starting, and there was all the... I was very, 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 very moved by the protests. And actually, and still to this day, or especially then, I wasn't in the middle, but I was very... It was very hard to really see, to know what was going on, to really understand. It was so confusing, you know, what to believe. I had to voice their concerns, and that people hadn't been so motivated to rally for any cause since for like years, like 30 years or whatever. And so that was very exciting to me, and it made me realize that people were, you know, and as much as people talk about how young people are, you know, lazy and they don't care, and you know, that whole attitude about I don't care, fuck it, it seemed like to me like, no, you know what, people are, know what's going on, people are passionate. And it was in all this stress and all this thing, it really, I was like, There was times when I was like, wow, I really wish we weren't recording in New York, because I had a feeling that like New York was going to get bombed any day.
Yeah.
And it would make me, but that, you know what, that was what would make me record that extra 6 hours that night and not sleep as long. You know what I mean? That's what would make me, you know, do some of that extra work or writing I needed to get done. That's what would make me call my parents, you know, another time that day just to say hi. When things are intense, it makes you value those things much, much more. And it makes you appreciate the simple things. And just when we're complaining or being depressed about, you know, this or that or trivial stuff, that's what I'm saying is like, hey, at least we're not dead. Think of all the people that just died. Today, I'm sure people died in battle somewhere on some side, innocent people, soldier, whoever. And just, you know, thank goodness that I'm not dead and I'm going to still have a few more hours to do something and then just take it on the next day. So I wasn't necessarily talking about specific current events, but rather just trying to remind myself point out the absolute truth about that it's a fortunate thing to be able to do anything.
Yeah.
You know.
Two final questions, because you've got to get going.
Okay.
First, do you still have dog time every day?
Yeah, when was the last time I saw a dog? There was a dog that was on the Warped Tour that was this really, really, really young puppy. And it was very, very sweet and very happy and would just sit and cuddle with you. And I got to pet him. The closest I got was a lot of Animal Planet. There's a cable channel called Animal Planet, and they have the planet's funniest animals. And there's lots of good dog footage on there, just silly dogs dancing around and freaking out and chasing their own tails.
Yeah.
I got to see my dog, Molly, when I went home to Michigan a few days ago.
As in Bob Marley?
No, M-O-L-L-Y.
Oh, right.
Like Molly.
Molly, oh, Molly.
Yeah, Molly, yes. And that was good. Yeah, not enough. There's never enough dog time. You can never have enough. So.
Yeah.
I could use a little more.
And also, is it white t-shirts and white jeans again this time around, or are you going to experiment with
it? Hey, look what I'm doing right now. We're wearing blue jeans. Yeah. The whole thing is that was never a uniform. There was never a uniform. That was just something I wore, and what ended up happening was it started to seem too much like the same thing. So I was like, well, I just want to be able to wear whatever clothes I wear. So I just was trying to not get pinned down. I don't want to like have it be too limited or restrained for no reason, and it's not a fashion thing. So I just kind of, that was just me wearing what clothes I wear, and I'll continue to do it now. It's really not that important. It's just playing the concert and playing the songs and hearing the songs is what's important. Everything else kind of secondary.
Great. Thanks very much.
He's got a great attitude. He's a fun guy, and his music's great.
What's your full name and how old are you?
I'm Adam Osman, I'm 16.
Can all three of you introduce yourselves?
Yeah.
What's your name and how old are you?
I'm Christian, and I'm 21.
I'm Claire, I'm 21.
I'm Lucy, I'm 19.
Why do you like Andrew to be here?
He likes the party!
Yeah, Dan's great. Good party. He doesn't like Andrew.
What's your name and how old are you?
I'm Polly and I'm 20.
And what do you like about Andrew to be here?
Just the fact that he's so stupid.
Maybe 14, and listening to like this bland shine just seems really sad, you know. At least listen to some. I mean, for all that I despise all that fucking American new metal, I can see if you're like a 15-year-old lad, at least it's a laugh going to a concert, fucking jumping about and all, and you know, seeing some knobheads with some masks on, you know, chopping some up on stage. At least it's kind of a laugh, you know.
Yeah.
It's just so sad when it's all that kind of safe MOR stuff.
I just whipped through some questions for our Christmas issue.
Yeah, it's
up there.
409.
What are you doing this Christmas? You know,
I haven't decided yet. I'll probably go home, that's what I usually do. Go back to Sheffield.
If you were holding a Christmas party, who would you invite and who would you pointedly not invite?
I just invite my mates,
yeah.
Would I not invite? I like fancy dress parties.
Yeah.
So I'd have a fancy dress party.
to be a fan.
I just want to invite balls. Yeah, I like to have a theme, set people up to task.
Yeah.
Like when my friends went away and went around the world, everybody had to come dressed as a country.
Yeah.
Or a place. And that was quite interesting.
What did you go as?
Me, I had a white suit with a white shirt, white tie, white shoes, white socks. I got this white body makeup, so all my face was white, and then I sprayed my hair white.
Yeah.
I was white. I was the Isle of White. Although I look kind of more like a ghost, actually.
Yeah.
Actually, on the sleeve, there's a picture of me as that.
What would you say was your party record of the year? Or records?
That Eve one.
Yeah.
Let me blow your mind.
Get your freak on, you said you liked.
Yeah, Steve's just got this new bootleg of it, which is, it's kind of that, with a kind of a thrash metal backing on that.
I think I heard.
It's really, really good.
Yeah.
We were going to play it desperate, but he got too drunk and he couldn't find it. It's really good.
Yeah.
I think we're going to play it on the radio tonight. We're doing Mary Ann Hobbs' show between 1 and 2.
Oh, really?
So I think we're going to play it tonight.
What?
It's really good.
Are there any other party records we should be seeking out?
I just got this compilation yesterday of dancehall stuff from Jamaica, which is, but it didn't, I thought it was going to be like reggae kind of thing, but it's like, it sounds like Sheffield techno music. It's really quite hard stuff. That's really good. I'd get some of them on. They're great.
And would you describe yourself as a party?
I quite liked Teenage Dirtbag, actually.
Yeah.
I bought that. That Black Legend track from about a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, with the Barry White stuff.
Yeah.
That's a great record. People really dance to that. That'll do as well.
Yeah. You still enjoy going to parties?
Yeah, especially house parties are like, they're always a bit more personal. Just more funny.
Yeah.
I don't like going to clubs around Christmas time, especially New Year's Eve. I never go to a proper club.
Yeah.
I did it when I was younger and it was never very great. It's always best if it's something a bit more personal, I think.
Who would you like to buy a Christmas present? Another pop star? What,
I'd buy Dido some singing lessons. I mean, everybody goes on about her having a great voice, but to me she's singing off out of key half the time.
Yeah.
Well, just buy one of them boxes that Cher's got.
Yeah.
You know, the one that gives you the... Let's get one of them auto-tune efforts. And sort it out.
And finally, is there a hangover cure you can recommend?
Yeah, I can actually. There's these Sindol tablets, the headache tablet for migraines.
Yeah.
Get some of them in. What you've got to do is just try not to get so pissed that you forget to take them before you go to bed.
Yeah.
Take two of them before you go to bed. And it just seems to take... You will have a hangover. There's no surefire cure. You will have a hangover, but it won't be as bad. And then in the morning, drink a cup of green tea.
Yeah.
Just without any sugar or anything else in it. You can get them with like ginseng in or ginkgo bilboa or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
But I have the one with ginseng in, and but you can just have normal. And that seems to, I don't know, rinse things out a little bit. That's it. That's the best thing I've found.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you have a couple of brewer's yeast tablets before you go to bed as well, that can help. So now it's hangovers seem to deplete your B12 vitamin, and that kind of replaces a bit of that, so you don't get such kind of alcohol-induced depression or whatever.
Yeah.
That's my tip.
Okay. Cheers.